I have a pedestrian here setting up, tuning their instruments and so forth, so we're going to get into that in just a minute. Here's a track from their new CD. This is Pedestrian with Ghostly Life, and the name of this track is Headwreck. Okay, you're listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org. My guest is Pedestrian. Hi, Joel.
How's you doing?
Hey, thanks for coming in, man.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, so I was just interviewing the Couch guys, and I met you at the Couch. Your friend Graham had you come in and guest DJ. Why do you suspect he thought you might have good taste in music?
I have no idea. I actually thought it was a mistake when I got the email. I thought, because he was talking about the Bowery, which is where we talked about it, and I automatically thought about New York. Uh-huh. And not LA. So I was thinking, man, there's another guy named Joel, and there's he thinks this other thing, and this other thing's happening, and it's a New York trip, and had nothing to do with the Pedestrian here or me. So I was surprised.
And then there's a couple other Pedestrian names out there.
Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch. I just looked on MySpace, and there's like 10 new ones from the time that we started on it on MySpace a year ago or whatever it was when we signed up. And it's hilarious. You would think that you would check to see if a band existed before you decided to use the name. So
well, they do it with movies now too. they'll just go ahead and name a movie Crash or something like that. You
no
know,
problems, it right? It's ridiculous. People are running out of ideas. So anyways, yeah, we're called Production. We have the trademark, though. So we trademarked the name like 3 years ago or even longer.
Everyone else is liars and thieves.
That just happened in Canada. There's a band called Pedestrian that sent me an email saying, sorry, we're going to retire the name because we're playing this Edgefest show up there in Toronto on July 1st. And so they announced it on the radio, and that band was going, oh, man. So they have to change the name.
What's the significance of the name for you guys?
For me, I just wanted something. There's something very – has nothing to do with walking or feet or people in the streets or construction signs, that kind of stuff.
A podiatrist. That would make a good name for a band.
Actually, one time we did a thing in Madrid. My ex-girlfriend's from Spain, so she hooked up these shows in Spain. And it was really a great thing. But they called us Pediatrian, which is basically pedophile in Spanish or something like that. This is really brutal. So here comes the American pedophile.
So what is it just is about?
The idea of the name, my friend Nick Lashley, guitar player, used to play with, and he's English, and he always used to reference, oh, that's very pedestrian, meaning mediocre and common. And there's something about it that I liked, just sort of degrading about it, in the sense, I'm just taking the piss out of myself by just saying, instead of like, we're the greatest thing in the world, you know, it's like the who, you know, like, whatever.
Right.
Not that it's as good a name as the Who, but also I like the fact that you didn't ever have to say it twice. You know, I had a couple of really arty names, like, you know, the everlasting indulgence of my ego. You know what I mean? Like, what's the name of the band?
Gobstoppers.
Yeah. So, and this was just like Pedestrian. I was like, oh, cool, Pedestrian. I like it. Or then also in the reviews, yeah, their performance was anything but, or the performance was very Pedestrian. Like those kind of comments you get, and then you laugh because you're like, you're fucking. Oh, can I cuss?
Yeah. Please. Sorry. No, I encourage it.
Your comment was it was Pedestrian by saying it. So
right.
Whatever. You know, there it is, Pedestrian.
And who are you joined by today?
This is Joe Carnes. He's the man of the hour.
Are you a regular part of the Pedestrian band?
Yes, when possible.
How many people?
It's basically a trio, but because we're in Los Angeles and I have the good fortune of playing with beautiful and amazing musicians, but they also have the good fortune of going on tour with other signed acts that can pay them lots of money. So there's a few variations of the band, but the core of the band would be Brendan Buckley on drums, Joe Carnes on bass, me on guitar, and a guy named Zach Ray, who's a keyboard guitar player. So, but he's on tour. But so there's variations on a theme. It's all the same music, and we're all sort of brothers in arms. So, you know, we're doing it.
Well, you're a little bit pared down here for this good and are crammed into our Tiny Kill Radio studio. So let's hear what Pedestrian sounds like under these circumstances. You're listening to Pedestrian on Is Good on killradio.org.
Hypnotized blue screens, the songs of attraction. Pleasure is past rubber bags, last potential. Echoing remnants of our imagination. Driveways that strip malls, the church next door. Us in blithering ambition. In
place of such manner we would benefit from. A career round into our imagination. Silent soul is crushed. And I spit to speak your clarity in chaos. Fattest freaks in nightdress and pity fit tantrums. The potential of us. Blithering exhibition. So here I am in my album and unity. A penny of disease that resides in my head. A penny for the fuck fit me encompasses. And paralyzed smart blithering addictions. Intoxicate me with the shape of your love. The beauty of our sin, blithering isolation. Fattest freaks in that dress, pity fit tantrums, the potential of us. I'm blithering exhibition. So here I am in my album and unity. Sides in my head. Let it for the fuck fit me encompasses. Paralyzes my blithering addictions.
The echoing remnants of us imagine. Oh.
Gorgeous.
Thanks, dude.
Thank you. Thank you. That's
too loud?
No,
oh,
that
cool.
was
okay.
That's nice. Bennett calling in from the other room.
Ow.
About how great that was. It's
thanks, man.
It's unique. I don't mean that in the pedestrian, you know, cliche. I literally have not heard anything like that on the show thus far. So,
wow, cheers.
Thank you for bringing it in. Where are you from?
I'm from here, from Los Angeles.
We both are, actually.
Yeah.
We were just having Angelinos. A conversation about this last night. We went to this place, Cranes, this new place on El Centro. Let me say it properly. And it's a great new sort of, it's like a bar with an outside patio, but they do live music. And we went to go see my friend Lissy, this amazing artist. She's so amazing. Play, and we started talking to somebody. And where are you guys from? From L.A. And they flipped out. And it's like, that's the reaction. Like,
right. So there are people that are actually from L.A.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fascinating.
Like, you got two
it's
of
a big
them here.
Beach town. You know, that got invaded by invaders.
I was looking at your MySpace page, myspace.com/pedestrianmusic.
Check me
out. Not to be confused with the 10 other pedestrians on MySpace.
Always add music to pedestrian, more or less, and you'll find us.
Right. And you mentioned in your sounds like section, I just wanted to read this so the audience can hear it if they're not already looking at it. Sounds like good music that makes you think twice, dynamic, poetic, abrupt, sensitive, explosive, delicate, unique. Artistic, evolved, and this is the best. If Radiohead crashed into David Bowie while Peter Gabriel was hanging out with the Finn Brothers listening to the Beatles at the time when the Beatles were listening to Hendrix and Eric Clapton was still cool and Led Zeppelin had challenged Pink Floyd to a duel, but they only had acoustic guitars and you two were listening. So on that note, tell me a little bit about the bands that have influenced you as you developed your sound.
As a musician, because the whole sort of singing and doing the band thing kind of came around a few years ago. But in terms, I've always just been a guitar player. And guitar players that inspired me were everyone from like the ridiculous Yngwie Malmsteen kind of stuff when I was a kid and I was like before I had pubic hair to nowadays, you know, finding out about all sorts of sort of unknown guys, like, you know, and just these weird guys around town, or, you know, African Ali Farkatore, these guys that are just badass, you know, Elvis Costello, realizing he's a great guitar player, just things like that. So, I mean, in terms of influences, it's as vast as it gets, you know, in terms of stuff that we like to listen to. There's no rhyme or reason to it, you know. I'm a rock and roll musician, you know, by nature, but I love acoustic music and I love world music, and I think, you know, Joe's like a bad, he's plays great jazz. And
I love a summer breeze and a pina colada. That's where I get my inspiration.
Long walks
from
on the beach. How did the two of you meet?
Oh man, we met like 10 years ago. We were touring together in two different bands and just were, you know, been friends, you know, kind of lost touch for a few years and got reacquainted through a mutual friend of ours. Actually centered around Pedestrian. They were looking for a new player. And my friend recommended me and was like, oh my God, we know each other. And, you know, we like each other. We've always wanted to play together. And that's how it happened.
Yeah, and we literally lost contact for a couple of years.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
3 or 4 years. Even longer, man.
Yeah, yeah.
But like the first time you guys played together, did you know that the sound clicked? That you both had a
yeah, there was a vibe.
Similar
yeah.
goals?
We enjoyed. Because when we started, when Pedestrian started, it was a buddy that I grew up with, Kay McGee. And we had a studio, or I still have it there, but it's this on Gower in Santa Monica, and we just jam all the time. And we had a different bass player who had to bail because he started getting into engineering and stuff. Well, he just started working a lot doing that and decided he didn't really want to be in a band. So we needed to find a bass player. And when Joe came in, we'd play with a few people, and it wasn't like audition, learn our songs. It was like, let's just jam and see if we feel good. And we ended up, I think, writing a song in that time. And,
yeah,
you know, and then Joe totally, he gave us the Joe dust and then took off again. Like, he got us all hyped up, and then we were doing this. We started, did some touring with Damien Rice, opening for him, and Joe did a couple of the shows and then had to go on tour. You joined Ben Taylor.
Yeah, I did that for a little bit of time.
So, but it was good. It was a good experience for him.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, how did you get involved in music, Joe? And how did you decide to pick up a bass and get yourself into it?
Because I love Gene Simmons. When I was a kid, I just wanted to put on makeup and, you know, like fly around a stadium. So basically that, my dad played bass, you know, so it was kind of like when we were pretending to, you know, make up bands when I was a kid, it was always about like, okay, you be the drummer. Okay, you're going to play bass because, you know, your dad plays bass. Maybe he'll teach you one day. And he tried. It didn't work out. And he got me a teacher and just kind of went from there.
I remember when I was like 11 years old, some friends of mine decided we were going to make a band, but none of us played instruments or sang. So it was like, so you'll do keyboards. So it was all based on our personalities.
Great bands came about because of that, man.
Yeah.
You know Blonde Redhead, right?
No, I'm not familiar with that.
This band, Blonde Redhead, they're amazing, right? The girl in the band wasn't, I don't really know the history, so don't quote me on it. If there's any Blonde Redhead fans that want to shoot me after I say this, but I don't think she was sort of an evolved musician at any time. I think they got her because her vibe and her taste and her art and stuff, and she kind of grew in the band, and she's amazing. Like her singing and her playing, they just swap instruments. They're a trio. They're amazing. Blonde Redhead.
Yeah.
Thought.
Well,
something.
I mean, I think when you're young, you have this idea, like you were saying, you want to be Gene Simmons. Like musicians are kind of like these superheroes with these magic powers, and so you want to emulate them, whether or not you can actually play the instruments yet.
Totally.
What about you, Joel? Like, what went wrong in your life that made you want to get into music?
I have really fucked up parents.
Yeah.
No, I mean not really. Kind of. I mean, like any kid.
Everybody does.
Yeah. They're just sorting it out on their kids. No,
you'll have kids too.
I'll beat the shit out of them and they'll end up playing music too and it'll be great. I'm actually not abused. I come from a good home, but I'm just teasing. That sounds horrible.
But how did you know to pick
my
up
dad,
a guitar?
Well, I grew up in it. My dad plays guitar and he builds guitars and he's just always been around. My mom is a writer. She used to write sort of for rock radio. There was a show called Telling Like It Is, and the Rock Chronicles back in KLOS and KMET were super happening in L.A. So, and I just was around it. I just always around it, and I started playing around 10 years old, playing guitar. My dad wanted me to play flamenco because that's what he plays, yeah. But it wasn't happening for me. I didn't get it. Had I just had the discipline as a kid to do it, I'd be probably a better musician, but then it all took its course.
Like you were trained classically and then...
Yeah, just to me sitting there and doing that wasn't as fun as like just plugging in an electric guitar and sort of going for it and playing. And then, you know, so that just came about jamming with friends. Like everybody in town, you know, and where I grew up, we all just sort of played music. So you just got together and jammed and, you know, you sit in a room and you rock out on the bed, jumping up and down to whoever you listen to, you know, the Stones or Scorpions or whatever it is, you know.
And what was sort of your mental transition from being a kid learning to play guitar to deciding you wanted to be a professional musician?
At 14 or 15, I was in a band called Etc., and that evolved into another band called Strangelove. We were just a rock band, but we were playing like on the Sunset Strip, Gazaris and the Roxy and stuff. So once I started doing those kind of gigs, like playing the Whiskey, and as a kid, it just made sense. It was like, this is absolutely what I wanted to do. And thank God, man, because it really kept me out of, I didn't have any, it's like my adolescence was literally spent rehearsing, you know, like I would take the bus to rehearsal, do the rehearsal, band rehearsal, and then go home and play with my Star Wars figures. You know, it was like this sort of weird transition, and but I was into it. I was like, man, music, that's all. My whole thing was music, and it's been great for my relationships with women.
Well, on that note, why don't we go into another live song if you guys are up for it?
What do you want to do?
Want to brain it?
Should we brain it? We'll keep it. We'll go ahead, give you a heavy one. Okay. Let's just do a quick, make sure we're not too loud. Like, is that cool with you guys?
Yeah, sure, okay. Whatever.
We'll break down the first chorus quietly.
Okay, sure.
And then the second one, we'll break it down. We never play it.
One day I'll be in a like a soundproof nuclear bunker, and that's when the show will really take off.
No, this is awesome, man. This is cool. But we'll break down the choruses, build them up. And then the very last chorus, we rock it.
Okay.
Okay, here we go.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Pedestrian.
Sorry, I got to put a shout out. This is my anti-Bush song.
Your face glowing, it's a disgrace knowing your mountains growing. How we're slowly, slowing to an end. Your head needs a baseball bat smack. Brains falling to the ground, and we gather around and we celebrate. I swear something's wrong. Hold me back, smack under attack. Lost track, smack up the day. We broke our backs, living under you. Life's made me understand you better. I'm not your friend. I swear something's wrong. Half-ass, this flag's at half-mast. I pass, I think we're gonna blow. If I had one wish, it would be to see you slip. Rejoice in this, get out on this, and I'll bask in it.
I swear something's wrong. Wrong.
My guest is Pedestrian. If you want to instant message me or the band, if you have any questions, you can do so on AOL Instant Messenger. The handle is Kill Radio Station. That's one word, Kill Radio Station. Wow. So politics, how much is that a part of the music that you do?
That's inevitable. It has to be a part of it because we live in this world and it dictates our radio, it dictates our art, it dictates everything that we do. So to be an artist and not be political is slightly sort of, I don't know how you could. Just by default, we are. Whether you speak about it or not, we are, because we take part in it. We travel in big tour buses that eat up a lot of gas. You know what I mean? Like, everything we do is effective of everything that we are. So by being anything, you are political, right? In a sense.
Why?
It's arguable, but...
Why do you love terrorism and hate America?
Well, be careful. We can get
the question that follows.
Right.
You know. Seriously, though, there's the idea that music, you know, you write about different things that you experience in life, and one of the things you experience is love, and other things, politics. But what you're saying is that just by the sheer act of being a musician, you're already, by being existent, you're already participating in politics.
You are, yeah. We pay taxes, right? Our taxes are invested into military, and so we're contributing just by being around. We are involved. That's what this is. That's how it works. So
do you?
And I'm far from like super involved. I'm just a guy with some ideas and an attitude problem. You know what I mean? Like,
do you feel you have a responsibility, not just as a citizen, but especially as a musician, to speak your mind on issues?
I have a responsibility to be who I want to be, and I have a responsibility to be a cool, nice person and be good. And that's my responsibility. I'm going to be kind to Joe because I love Joe. You know what I mean? I'll be nice to the person on the street. If someone drops their wallet, I'll pick it up. I'll give it to them. I'll be honest. That's my responsibility. If people like what we sing about or they don't, I don't know. So that response, if I have the responsibility not to sort of be an idiot. You know what I mean?
But that's your responsibility as a person. Do you feel that you have an extra set of responsibilities that come specifically with being a musician?
I mean, if you start gaining influence, you take on a certain role that I think a lot of, when I see certain celebrities or whatever, it's easy for me to say that because I'm just a bonehead, like, and living in LA, you know what I mean? We don't have any influence, but I mean, maybe it's over 30 people or something, but
if you're Madonna, you could do your performance on a cross or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I mean, I think Madonna's great because she challenges thought. She challenges issues, you know?
And she wouldn't be able to do that if she didn't have the audience.
Yeah, and I think part of it is hype and part of it is publicity, but part of it's because I think that she's actually, I mean, the thing she's accomplished and her field, it's pretty amazing. You know what I mean? I have nothing but respect for her. So whatever her choice of religion or how she eats or whatever, that's personal.
Right, those are the subjects that matter to her.
That's the fine line between celebrity and what you do in your own personal life. So, I mean, there's that weird, like, we're all chastising Tom Cruise for being a Scientologist. Like, it's none of our business, man. Really, you know? Period. I'm not a Scientologist, but I have nothing against it. So each their own. Just be cool. But in terms of our influence over people, if we gain a fan base and, you know, kids are going to, if I say shoot, kids will shoot, then, like, it's my responsibility not to say shoot, you know?
What is the influence that you, once you have it, what is the influence that you want to have over kids? Is it to get them to shoot each other?
No, I want people to be cool to one another. Like, just simply, like, the other day I was outside my house and heard all this racket, and this guy was in the street, and he was doing his car. I was like, oh, he's changing a tire, no big deal. And then I heard this, fuck, Jeff, you know, pissing off, and heard some slamming. And I went out, and I'm like, hey, man, are you cool? And his jack broke, and his car fell on his tire, spare tire, and it almost really screwed up his thing. And I was like, so I grabbed my jack from my car and, like, helped the guy out. Like, you know, we changed his tire together. And he's sweating. It was hot outside, and we were greasy, and I had to go, but I took time to do this, whatever. And that little moment when we were done, he was like, oh, so what do I owe you? I was like, what do you mean, what do you owe me? You don't owe me anything, man. That's how it's supposed to be. Like, you're just supposed to do that shit. That's how it's supposed to be. But we don't do it. And especially in big cities, it becomes so segregated. And like, it's just ridiculous. We just got to be cool to one another.
Well, is it experiences like that that get you excited about writing music?
Yeah, no. I'm sad. Like, I get sad by the things I see. Seeing the guy, like, the homeless people here, or the bums, or the drug addicts, or the whatever, or the politicians. When I see Bush on TV, I get sad. It saddens me that the world is like that. It saddens me that mediocrity is celebrated. It saddens me that you can be a celebrity by being an idiot. It saddens me. Like, that's like, what the hell is going on? Does anybody want to say, hey, can't we stop
take a fucking minute and go like, what the hell is happening? We're missing a huge point. What are we doing this for? What's the point of being here? You know, we're destroying the earth so that Paris Hilton can be a celebrity. This is fucked up. It's just backwards. It's totally backwards. Sorry. I mean,
that. Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's a really good way to put it, is celebrating mediocrity. And I think a lot of people just feel that they're here to consume. And that's it.
There's a great magazine in Canada called Adbusters, adbusters.org. And that's, they're like, you know, they have Buy Nothing Day. I've got this great clicker that turns off TVs. So if you're at the airport and you've seen these guys like sitting there, you can't escape the television. You know, it's like it's literally everywhere. I don't know. I just read 1984. I mean, I'm a little late on my literature. But Ed Maxwell, another guy that plays bass with us, he's great.
When that was written, it was the future.
I know. Right? And I'm reading and I'm going, my God. You know, I'm flipping out and I'm telling it, like, you never read 1984? Where were you, man?
I read it in 83.
I was in the, you know.
I was six.
I went to school in the Valley. It wasn't like education was a priority there.
You were in Canada not too long ago.
We did a three-week tour. It was great.
And is there any difference between a Canadian audience and an American audience?
I wouldn't say between the audience. I would say there's a difference between, most of the time in Canada, there's like a recycling bin next to a trash can, like in the airports. Mm-hmm. We played with my buddy Alexi Murdoch. I went to the Edmonton Folk Festival as well last year and played that. And it was the cleanest festival I've ever been to. The way their systems were, and it's so easy to do.
Don't they have like robots that clean the streets or something?
No, man. Not that I know of. No, Toronto's kind of filthy. I mean, Toronto's a big city. It's like Toronto's slowly becoming. It's the people there are great, but
I was there once, and at the time I thought it was like New York but cleaner.
Yeah, it's cleaner than New York's. Yeah, I mean,
but that was years ago though.
It's,
so maybe
it's getting a lot of people are starting to move there because it's a happening town. You know, like we were there and. We were just there, and you start seeing the same kind of things that you'd see at, like, Fred Siegel here or something, you know, or M Cafe or whatever. But like, the Edmonton Folk Festival, you buy a plate of food, and you pay a dollar. You have to pay a dollar for your thing. And then when you return your plate, it's recycled, which is like a plastic plate. You return your plate, you get your dollar back.
Oh.
Great, great system. And on that line that you get your plate back, there's a trash can for food, there's a trash can for paper, there's a trash can for plastic, there's a trash can for cans, you know, and it's just like, it was the cleanest festival I've ever seen. And then...
So you're rewarded for being responsible.
You're rewarded for being responsible. It was just an amazing thing. So that's kind of how Canada's different. Then the next exact opposite of that, we did a festival like in Buffalo, New York or something right after that. And we were in catering, and it was like, you know, you couldn't get water that wasn't Dasani or friggin' Aquafinity, which is basically Pepsi and Cola. Their water company, so they have a monopoly on water in fast.
Wow.
It's horrible. Don't drink Aquafinity and don't drink what's it called? Dasani. It's filtered water. You're spending $2. Like, just go buy a filter and drink your own tap water. Yeah, whatever. Anyways, I get wild.
Great.
So I'm at catering, and I'm you know, I had my whatever thing, and I said, hey, is there recycling? No, we don't do that here. You know, it's like, why? It's so easy to do. Put a trash can out. So we took a trash can from our dressing room and we put it in the catering room. It's just like, that's the difference.
Mm-hmm.
America needs to just work a little bit harder on, instead of killing all, like, everybody around, we need to start taking care of ourselves and respecting the fact that we've got a great country and we've got an amazing amount of like, our landscape. And it's beautiful here. It's like one of the prettiest, Big Sur's, one of the prettiest places I've had
that
the good fortune
I've
of traveling.
There.
A lot of places, man, and it's hands down one of the nicest places in the world. I mean, we've got Arizona, we've got Colorado, we have gems. We just need to take care of them.
I remember when I was in Canada doing a job once, and I was reading a Chomsky book, and all the people on the crew and everybody took a big interest. I became known on the set as the American who reads.
Wow, yeah, that's an oddity, right?
Which is really upsetting. Why don't we play a track from this album that you brought in,
cool.
And after that we'll talk a little bit about this, where people can get it. What track do you recommend?
Maybe Playing God. I don't know what number it is, but since we're talking about all this stuff, it'd be good to play that one.
All right, looks like that is 5. All right, my guest is Pedestrian. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org, and we'll be right back.
We retreat to cubby holes, full of invention. Oh, but we fall short, for we are obsessed with our possession. We will learn. take you in and swim. Oh, but we fall short, for we are possessed by our obsessions. And I'm bumping out in these jelly walls of denial. I hide from the smoke, for the door. Let's play house. White picket fences. Oh, let's play dead. Let's play God and enjoy the view. We're spinning out of control. It's probably so.
Listening to Pedestrian on Is Good on killradio.org. So where can people get this awesome album with this awesome cover art, man?
Thanks, dude. It's 100% recycled, too.
I bet it is.
Boom.
It's right? Called Ghostly Life.
Ghostly Life, yeah.
And this isn't your debut album, is it?
Basically, yeah. We did an EP, which we ended up calling the Electric EP. But it wasn't released or anything. We just sold it at shows and on our website. And then this, I'm actually going to try to get something happening with it. But yeah, so it's our first full-length CD.
And can people buy it now?
On pedestrianmusic.org. Go to the merch page. And the website's old. Like, it's our website we've had for a while, and we are literally in the process of it. It's going to be relaunched by the end of the month, I hope. But you can get it right now there. And there's actually, if you go to our MySpace page, which is Pedestrian Music, there's a link that takes you right there.
Oh, okay. So great. Well, everyone should do that. Thanks. I recommend this. This is good.
Good listening.
Before we run out of time, I want to get as much music out of you guys as I can. So why don't we go into another live song, and then we'll talk about your upcoming shows as well.
Thanks. This song's called Hummingbird on a Wire.
The house is on fire, let it burn to the ground. Maybe this explains why I've kept you around. The world is getting heavy, so I think I might sleep. I'll get lost in the telly so I don't have to think. These are all temporary cures. Something to remove my head from its position. Just a quick fix for the burn until I get distracted again. Plenty of this, I got plenty of that. Perhaps a little more would keep me intact. Running all directions, I've been nowhere to go. I think I'm going crazy cause I've locked all the doors. Doors, doors. These are all temporary cures. Something to remove my head from its position. Just a quick fix for the burn until I get distracted again. And these are all temporary cures. Something to remove my head from its position. Just a quick fix for the burn until I get distracted again. Please settle down. My mind's gone abstract. Please settle down. My mind's gone mental. Temporary cures. Something to move my head from its position. And just a quick fix for the burn until I get distracted again. And these are all temporary cures. Something to move my head from its position. And just a quick fix for the burn until I get distracted again.
Where can people see this?
We're going to play Hotel Cafe on Cahuenga on Saturday night at 10:30. But I would get there early because there's a guy named Brian playing, Brian McKnight, or Brian Knight. I don't know his last name, but he's really amazing. He plays with Joe Purdy and with Soda and his band, and his solo stuff's great. So I think he goes on at 9, and then there's another guy playing at 10, and I don't know the name, but he's supposed to be amazing. And then we go on. We really go on at 11, but I'm telling people 10:30.
Right.
But it's cheap. It's like, we'll make it $5 or something to get in, and it'll be fun. And the record, we'll have the record there. You guys can get the CD there if you come.
And that's a pretty happening place, too, Hotel Cafe.
It's
a lot of really good bands play there.
Yeah, it's really nice.
Very artist-friendly, you know.
Marco and Max, they built a really good just music venue. You know, just a whole scene over there. It's nice.
And you have another show coming up, too, afterwards.
Yes, we...
first, I think.
On the first, oh, July 1st, we're going to be in Toronto.
Oh, it says July. I was
July,
looking at it.
Yeah.
Said, I thought it said June.
There's actually another show at the Hotel Cafe on the 12th of
June,
which is we're trying to figure out a day to do our record release party, but it's hard to get everybody in town at the same time and have a venue. I don't want to just play. This is our record release party. I want to do like a big thing and, you know, show a movie and have painters and like, I don't know. Go-go dancers,
jugglers, flame.
Yeah, we want to make it
flaming
like a
jugglers
festival.
Yeah.
Do you guys think of yourselves more as live performers or recording artists?
Both.
Yeah.
Is there one that's more important to you than another?
I think they're both important, and they both sort of take on a different thing. You know, I don't know, really know where music's headed, but it's at some point I think your live show has to be badass, and that's the only way you're going to stay alive. You have
to be able to connect with your live audience. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But then there's also the quality of, you know, laying down the perfect track and getting the song to that point where it's the perfect representation of that song.
Yeah, it's true. You know, and just because you can play live really well doesn't always translate to great studio recording. So the trick is to try to meld the two of those. You know, play in the studio like you're playing live, and play live like you're playing in the studio. You know,
right?
Like with that kind of mindset, and you'll play great stuff.
Joel, is Pedestrian your baby, or is it a collaborative process? Do you do the bulk of the writing and
on this record? Yeah, and the stuff before. I mean, it's my dream is to be in a rock band with my buddies and like making great music, and what we, you know, that's what we do after school. You know what I mean? Like uh-huh. You go and you rehearse and you write songs and you go and do shows and you go and tour and you make records. But unfortunately, it's not really how it is. So yeah, at this point, it's my baby, and you know, I financed the record and did the recordings and stuff. But I mean, I couldn't do it without Joe, and I couldn't do it without Brendan, and I couldn't do it without Zach. And the new record that we're going to start, we've already kind of started it. The songs are in existence. I want to be adamant about making it trying to make it so that we're writing all the songs together, regardless if I come in with the song or not. I just want to really open it up to everybody and see what that is. And you know, maybe that encourages these guys not to take gigs.
Yeah. Get them to stick around, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I really want to keep the same band together. It is a pain in the ass when, you know, it's like, who's playing bass on the next show, you know, and it's going to be, and sure, it changes the sound. I mean, it's still good and it's still going to be exciting.
No, it's hard to do a play if your cast keeps changing.
Yeah. And then like this tour I did in Canada, I was opening up solo. So it's like, that's like, you know, a whole other trip. So
do you do a lot of solo live performances?
I try not
to,
but I'll do anything I have to do to play music.
And so, do you do it as Pedestrian?
Yeah. I just say I'm Joel Sheeran. I don't have my band here and we're called Pedestrian. So it doesn't get, you know.
Cool. All right. Were you guys ready to do another song?
Yeah. Thanks. Thanks right. for having us, man. Seriously.
Yeah. Thanks so much for coming in. I really
come to the show, you guys.
It's Exemplifies is good.
Cool.
On killradio.org.
The song is called Overwhelmed off of Ghostly Life. Bye. Oh, let's start with the intro, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Here we go.
I feel simple, I feel lost. I feel heavy with all the above. I wanna get away, I've got to get away. One more blow will do me in. So I hide beneath this skin. It's so much safer here. It must be safer here. In the darkest parts of me, where I tend to find my peace. It's now much better here. It can't be better here. Ooh, oh. Got so overwhelmed by, ooh, oh, we got so overwhelmed by, ooh. Is it easier on you when I play that I'm through? We build our walls again. I've built our walls again. Sometimes love feels this free. Sometimes love disagrees. I'll take what I can get. I'll take what I can get. Got so overwhelmed by, ooh, oh, we got so overwhelmed by, ooh,
that's overwhelmed by. As the world falls on me, will the righteous ones believe? I won't get used to it, I can't get used to it. Still the air tastes the same, every face, shape and name. I've bled enough for now, I've bled enough for now.
You've been listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Pedestrian. Joel, Joe, thank you guys so much for coming in.
Thanks for having us, man.
We have a huge weekend coming up and a lot of shows to go see, so I'm going to list them for your convenience. Tonight, The Couch, featuring Knifey Head, Sendero, Renata Youngblood, guest DJ Mark Zimke from Anthem Magazine, and of course your resident DJ, yours truly, at The Couch Night, Lava Lounge, 1533 North La Brea. And that's free if you RSVP at myspace.com/thecouchnight. That's tonight. Then tomorrow you can go see me DJ with Starsky Suave at our party Leisure Suite at Bar 107 downtown, 107 West 4th Street. I'll be doing mostly acid jazz and in 80s new wave and old school hip hop while Starsky does his thing with the entire decade of the 70s. And then Saturday, go to Hotel Cafe and check out who you just heard just now, Pedestrian, and I get more information on them from myspace.com/pedestrianmusic. And then this Sunday is the Kill Radio benefit, Sunday the 28th, featuring 8-Bit, DJ Swamp, Alpha Shemale, and that's at Safari Sam's, 5214 West Sunset. And there's a lot of other special guests involved in that as well. And you can get more information on that, myspace.com/kill_radio. And if you want more information on the show, and if you want to download past episodes of the show, this one will be up later today, do so from myspace.com/thisisgood. That is all. My guest next week is Brutus Gets the Girl, June 1st. Here's another Pedestrian track for you. It's called Dosify.
There you are, in your minds all the faces of days less abrasive. Rewind. There you go, all you know, all you show is a blow I follow behind. Now to keep
Here you are.